Well, good morning, Sower Nation. Welcome to a new week. It is Monday, May the 12th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. We are making our way through 1 John, as you're well aware, and I'm learning new things. I hope you are too. Let's jump right in, as is our custom, into consecration. You ready? Deep breath. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Yes, Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Sinning is Not Inevitable. Our text is 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Hear now the word of the Lord. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. I mean, just full stop here. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. We should just sit a few minutes with that. Maybe we can come back around at the end. Let me just say it one more time. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. It's so plain. It's so clear. That's John, the same John who said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, have it to the full." The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. All right, now consider this. I think I'm beginning to understand why John keeps repeating himself when he warns us not to let anyone lead us astray. In light of these texts teaching us it is possible to live free from sin, I think we have all been led astray. We have been led to believe sin is inevitable. The popular bumper sticker says it best, "I'm not perfect, just forgiven." The basic ethic of the Christian when it comes to sin is to be forgiven, be grateful, and do your best to be better. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. I'll be honest, when I sin, my first thought isn't that I am of the devil. My first thought is that I'm human. Sin is part of being human, right? But what if it's not? What if, in fact, sin dehumanizes us? What if being human means not sinning? From the first sin to the most recent one, they all degrade our humanity. Sin makes us less than we were created to be. Don't hear me wrong. We human beings are sinners. But because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have power over sin. We have power to not sin. Sin has lost its power. So if sin has lost its power, maybe the problem is we have not taken up our power. What if you got a letter in the mail today with the news that a distant relative had passed away and left you $1 million? What would you do? You would figure out exactly what you had to do to claim your inheritance, wouldn't you? I know I would. I mean, imagine simply throwing the letter away and forgetting about it. So what if you got a letter today with the news that you had inherited a power that could enable you to live at a new level of aliveness and creativity and power and love? A power that could free you from selfishness and sadness and addiction and every other way of life that brings grief. What would you do? I can't speak for you, but I would do whatever I needed to do to claim that inheritance. Here's the good news. John has sent you the letter with the news that you have inherited a power that sets you free from sin, all the ways and patterns of life that rob you and others of life. Are you ready to claim that inheritance? Can you imagine just throwing that letter away and forgetting all about it? The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Sin has lost its power. Are you ready to take up your inheritance of His power to live the life you were created for? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for showing us what it looks like to be a real human being, that it looks like a life that hits the bullseye. Would you infuse me with your Spirit in such a way that I live above and beyond the power of sin, which has lost its power? Let me live in the fullness of the freedom of the children of God. Let me claim my inheritance. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. The journal prompts for today. Are you ready to take the "I'm not perfect, just forgiven" bumper sticker off your life? What might this mean practically? How might you claim your inheritance? Here's a better sticker. You ready? I'm not just forgiven. I'm being made perfect. And again, we've got to understand perfect in the scriptural sense. It's interesting, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says there at the end of chapter 5, he says, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." It's a very difficult thing to understand. Well, maybe it's not difficult. Maybe we've made it difficult because of our modern day notion of perfection and all of the baggage that that word brings, perfectionism. And you see, perfect in the Bible sense is not about flawlessness. It's about fullness. It's about the fullness of God. And doesn't lead to perfectionism. It leads to wholeness. Wholeness, that's it. I've already gotten off into my comments here today. Well, I want to give us our hymn because I know, I see a number of you. You got the hymnal already in your lap and you're like, what's the hymn? What's the page number? Come on, we need to get ready. And it's number 311, 311. Open my eyes that I may see. And I got another super bonus for us today. If you were with us Saturday, you know what it's going to be. I got a superstar singing with me today again. So number 311, open my eyes that I may see. We'll be to it here shortly, but I wanted to just stay on this thread of, you know, people say, I'm only human. I'm only human. I'm just really not that much, you know. And what they mean by that is that I'm just pretty flawed and broken and imperfect and a mess. I'm only human, of course. And so much so that we say, you know what? Sin, we just attribute sin to, oh, that's just human nature. And I want to say back to that, no, that's not human nature. That's fallen nature. Human nature, okay? We go to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, and we see that human nature is created in the image of God. Now, of course, we have to deal with Genesis 3. Genesis 3 through 11, let's just call it, gives us the trajectory, the whole dynamic of the fall, fallen nature. But the Bible doesn't start with Genesis 3, does it? It starts with Genesis 1 and 2. In the image of God, he made them. Male and female, he made them. I think that's what it says. Pretty close. Human nature carries, like, the image of divinity. It's been crushed. It's been broken. It's been desecrated by sin. We're unfortunately not born into the Genesis 1 and 2 image of God understanding. We're born into sin. We're born with sin cancer. And that's why I say we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. And I've gotten a little bit of pushback out there on, like, well, if we're redeemed and saved and restored by Jesus, we're no longer sinners. And I want to say this. I'm like, you know, I understand in principle what you're saying, but the truth is we are simultaneously sinners and saints, holy ones. And sin has lost its power, which is setting us free. Jesus is setting us free to rise into redeemed human nature. But it's just a bridge too far to say we're not sinners anymore. We're simultaneously sinners and saints. Now, interestingly, too, the pathway from a sinner to a saint, you see, the Pharisees and the religious elites and really so many people throughout all history right up to the present day, we think that that journey is made by striving, by being more religious, by trying harder to do more, to be better. That's called self-improvement. That's not righteousness. That's self-righteousness is what it produces. The pathway from sinner to saint runs through becoming, receiving adoption, becoming a son and a daughter, a much loved son and daughter. That's where the deep nature of our deepest self is changed. That's the new birth. We're born again, born anew, born from on high. Because our first birth, unfortunately, is hopelessly, we're hopelessly corrupt in that first birth. But Jesus, the Son of God, has come, has died, has redeemed our low estate, has put his nature in us, filling us with the Holy Spirit, enabling us to rise up and become, you know, he, it says, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Go back and I think that's around 1 Corinthians 5. It's somewhere, 2 Corinthians 5, I believe it is. That's one we need tattooed, okay, on the heart. 2 Corinthians 3, get back there, you know. For we, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image by the Spirit, right? From one degree of glory to the next, with ever increasing glory, it says, and this is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We just got to get down in the New Testament, friends. get out of the folk religion of behavior management. Believe in behavior. And behavior management's just sin management. We've got to get transcendent formation going on in here. That's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what John's talking about. Okay, I'm sorry. I keep going. We got to sing today. We got a great song. Open my eyes that I may see. Open my ears that I may hear. Open my mouth. Open my heart. This is what's got to happen. He's got to open us up and lead us into this vision. Already we're seeing it. The Lord's revealing things to us all right now, today, on Monday of all days. We're headed to a new week, new possibilities. There's new power. There's new love. It's in Jesus. Okay, for our hymn today, as noted, it's going to be number 311, 311. Open my eyes that I may see. Okay, this is another song that just plays right into the whole work, the gift. It's not a work, it's a gift of beholding. Open my eyes. Open my ears, open my mouth. That's the way the three verses go. And I have again today with us my favorite hymn singer, who's going to join us, my dad, the farmer, David Walt. We're going to sing all three verses. Are you ready? Ready, Dad?
Yeah.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let it bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit divine.
All right, we kind of went for a little harmony on the end of that one. I'll tell you what, it's not my specialty, but I love it. And I can hear you all out there all the time hitting those notes and harmonizing, and you got the hymnal so you can see all the parts. That's why if you don't have a hymnal yet, you need to order one. We link it every day, friends. Come on. Well, thanks, Dad, for helping us sing that hymn. Have you noticed there it starts number one, open my eyes, and number two, open my ears. I might reverse those if I were writing the hymn. I mean, faith comes by hearing, and hearing leads to seeing. But what's the most important thing is, like, only in the third verse are we opening our mouth. We'd be well served if we would sing and live by the first two. Let's open our eyes and our ears first, and let's make sure we got something to say, because we're lifting ourselves up to Jesus, and then he starts showing us what to say when we open our mouth. And then opening our heart, let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. There's so much to say about that hymn, but we're all out of time today. It's time to hit the fields. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on you. It's time. We've been through consecration. We've been through transformation. Now we're moving out into demonstration. The Spirit of the Lord is on you. It's today again. Get your seeds. See you on the field. For the Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
I'm David Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.